you introduce your guest today, and then we'll go right to Marcus.
Thank you very much. The young people sitting on our right hand side, they are from the School of Phonics Factory. I understand we have about 150 students in the school. This is the fifth year, right? Okay, and we are glad to have you with us. Mr. Chair, if you give them a courtesy, I'd appreciate it.
We're very happy to have you with us today at the committee, and we hope you enjoy it. And if you have questions at some point, maybe somebody around here can answer them for you. So we're looking forward to doing that, okay?
Welcome.
All right, welcome to the committee, okay? I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2662A. And we're very pleased to have Representative Simmons with us. Do you want to tell us what the bill is?
Sure, I will do that.
Margie will tell us what the bill is.
Chair Duncan, members of the committee, House Bill 2662 directs the Housing and Community Services Department to establish a registry system for persons who are requesting to be notified when funding awards are contemplated for multifamily housing projects. And it authorizes the fee for the registry.
Okay, well, thank you. Representative Simmons.
Thank you very much, Senator Duncan, members of the committee. I bring you today House Bill 2662. I appreciate you scheduling for hearing. All politics is local, as you well know, and this comes originated from a intense controversy in La Grande. The bill passed the House unanimously, and it resulted from a low-income housing dispute that was in La Grande. The dispute dragged the private sector and the housing authority to a battle, which in the end was resolved by the Housing and Community Services Department conducting a market study to determine the need for the proposed housing project. To sum up, why the dispute occurred can be stated in three words, really, this lack of communication. House Bill 2662 simply puts a communication mechanism in place that other parts of the state do not have to go through what La Grande went through. The bill basically sets up a notification process allowing the Housing and Community Services Department the ability to be involved on the front end of local housing disputes rather than after any conflicts that might occur. Specifically, the bill calls for a notification of HCSB-funded projects to a registry of interested parties such as local state and state agencies and associations, housing authorities, and cities. Upon the notification, any interested party has 30 days to file comments regarding the proposed housing project. If a dispute arises, the HCSB, at the director's discretion, has the ability to conduct a market study or take other actions in response to comments that have been filed. It allows HCSB to mediate disputes and help the community make the right decision. The bill before you is a result of the work group crafted by the Oregon Rental Housing Association, the Association of Housing Authorities, and the Housing and Community Services Department, all reaching consensus on the bill. And I would urge your support for House Bill 2662.
Representative Simmons, who testified against the bill in the House?
As I recall, Senator Duncan, I came in and introduced the bill and was able to stick around for parts of the hearing, but not all of it. There was some initial opposition from Grunfeld, Mr. But my understanding is that by the time that the bill was amended, by the time it got finished,
Grunfeld,
there you go. His concerns were taken care of. And when we finally finished it up, there was no opposition.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, Senator Carroll.
Were the folks in the housing division okay, department, housing and community services department, are they okay on the bill?
Yes, my understanding that they are happy with the bill.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Did you get the sign? Any other questions for Representative Simmons? Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Nice to have you in our committee. I look forward to being in yours.
Yes, at 3:32.
I have to run over to his committee at 3:30. Okay. Turnabout fair play. I want you to remember we were very gracious to you over here. Okay. Thank you. We have also testified. Sean?
Sean's not here.
Sean's not here. I'm just trying, Lynn, do you want to come on up and, Lynn Foster from the Housing and Community Service. I think I want to be a little careful because it is listed as last, and Sean Miller is coming later, I understand. So I may not go to work session until a little bit later, just in case somebody thought, well, last on the list, and we'll get to it. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Wayne Schaffler from the Housing and Community Services Department. Representative Simmons has laid out a very accurate portrayal of what happened. There was some initial opposition to the original form of the bill, which really required us to do a great deal of work, perform market studies all over the state, and it was a very expensive proposal initially. But as we got to the core of the issue, again, Representative Simmons represents it accurately, and that it was an issue of communication and notification at the local level to let them know what we were thinking about doing so they had an opportunity to respond and tell us their thoughts on whether it was a good idea or a bad idea. And so we reached this notification process that's described within the bill. We're comfortable with that. We think it will make our process better and keep the public better informed about the activities of the department. So we're on board and delighted to
okay.
for the economic solution.
Any questions for Lynn Ollie here? Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on 2662A for right now, and I'll reopen it a little bit later, see if anybody comes in. And then we'll possibly do a work session at that time, too. Okay. Moving back on the agenda. I'm going to open... I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 831.
Chair, I move that Senate Bill 831 be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules and Elections.
Senator Troll moves that Senate Bill 831 be reported out without recommendation as to passage and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules and Elections. Are there any questions?
Why are you doing that, Mr. Chair? Why are you putting through the rules?
Well, the reason, no, this came up. And we held a hearing on it, but it's not one that surfaced during our regular committee when we were trying to put everything together. And, I guess we were responding at the last minute to those that were making requests, and this one didn't come up at that point. And they feel this is important, and I understand their concern. So we have talked to the Rules Committee, and they're willing to accept it over there. So at least it'll have one more shot now. If it doesn't, it's dead.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 831 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Elections and without recommendations to passage. We're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 671. I'm looking around. We have no one signed up for the bill. It's Senator Ferrioli's bill. Oh, Sam.
He's here. I'm sorry.
That's right. We were. You've been trying to work this out a little bit, haven't you?
No.
Are we there?
Not quite.
671.
There's encouraging talks, Mr. Chair. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cam Burring. I administer the Transportation Purchasing Print Services Division in the Department of Administrative Services. Following the hearing last week, Senator Ferrioli, myself representing DAS, Grant Cairns representing Oregon University System, and Don Trout representing DHR exited to the hallway to work out something. Our thinking being, let's make this as automated as we can. Let's avoid any kind of transfer of hard copy. So the idea that was going to be forthcoming, it was going to be something I understood, and I believe Grant and Karen understood, and Don Charles from DHR understood, was going to be totally automated. The Department of Administrative Services was going to be providing a electronic database, a bulletin board, accessible through the World Wide Web, the Internet, upon which agencies, following a certain amount of instruction, would submit their stuff. We'd be the host unit as far as hosting the computer bulletin board. But beyond that, agencies would be responsible for funneling in their information. And so that's where we left it, where Senator Farioli was going to be dealing with legislative counsel. There is a Dash 6 Amendment. Dash 6 Amendment has been released. That is correct, Sarah. And we've had a chance to look at the Dash 6 Amendment, which actually the Dash 6 Amendment does give the agencies the option of submitting hard copy or going through the Internet. There is a distinct fiscal disadvantage to having agencies submit hard copies, because what we would have to do is take their hard copies, and we don't know how many agencies would be submitting hard copies, and turn the hard copy into something on the electronic bulletin board.
Jen, do you want to come on up right quick? And I'm going to, I may cut this off in a few minutes because I representing this has to get to another meeting. Go ahead. Just finish your first.
So there's an uncertain fiscal impact coming out of the Dash 6 Amendment, Mr. Chair, because we would not know how many agencies would be wishing, if they are given the option, of submitting their information to us, not on the bulletin board, but in hard copy. And again, if we've got anything in hard copy, we'd be obliged by this Dash 6 Amendment to provide people to FCE to put that into the electronic bulletin board. So, uncertain fiscal impact. And Mr. Chair, I talked this issue over with John Juncker, Director of Dash, and he is saying, on this particular idea, let's pursue a non-legislative solution. Dash is willing to press into this one and keep close tabs with Senator Farioli. We haven't talked to Senator Farioli about this. We have a draft letter. We have a draft letter to share with him that we would be willing to host the database, but we want to deal with all agencies and enable the agencies to submit data to us electronically on our database and make it available to anyone who wants to look at it, including the general public. And we see that would be having the least cost. And if the senator or this committee or the legislature saw after this a two-year period that it wasn't working well.
Thank you very much, folks. Right.
Then we could try something else. We could legislate this idea. We believe we can pull this off without going through any statutory changes.
Okay. Garrett, I think what I'm going to do is to reset this just for a few minutes. And I'm going to reset Bill 671, if you will, don't mind standing by. And I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 2831. Excuse me, House Bill 2831. I've got to start thinking House. Good afternoon.
And
nice to have you with us, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Ken Masserly, State Representative of District 48, which is the rural part of Coos County and all of Curry County. I'm here today to briefly explain House Bill 2831 and why it's before us. In 1997, the Coos County Surveyor discovered in the process of updating the county maps that the statutory descriptions of the boundaries of Coos, Curry, and Douglas counties were not accurate. It was too late in the 97 legislature to correct the issue. And so we have brought this issue, Senator Tarnow and I have sponsored this issue, this bill today to correct that. All three counties, Coos, Curry, and Douglas, have agreed to it. Basically what you would classify as a housekeeping issue, and I urge your support.
Can you trust all these people? They haven't tried to get a little bit of rich land that they can move over into their boundary. There was a temptation to do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as a matter of fact, the representatives from Curry County put an amendment in that would change, of Douglas County, to take all of Coos and Curry counties and make it Douglas County. And they had me really upset till I realized it was a joke. So.
any questions for Mr. Miller?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Is it your testify on this bill? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing. In fact, I'll open a work session on 2831 while you're here.
Chair.
Senator Crow.
I move we send House Bill 2831 before with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Crow moves we send House Bill 2831 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
Senator Shields? Coos County, the boundary. The boundary from the three. It's okay.
Senator
Crow? Aye. Okay. All right. House Bill 2831 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I assume. Somebody from Tarno will carry it. We'll sign it to Senator Tarno. We'll carry it. Close the work session on 2831. Okay, I'm going to go back. Well, is Senator Ferrioli on his way?
Right. Contacted his office. Sure, Dr. Members, this can be contacted his office. We're not sure if he's on his way or not.
If you would, we could find out, so I'd rather than break it up again, if we could have him here, it'd be great. Maybe I may go to House Bill 2584 while they're checking, okay? I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2584. Is there anyone signed up to testify? Anyone explain it to us?
Sure. Chair Duncan, members of the committee, House Bill 2584 allows the transfer of property from political subdivisions to another governmental body when the property will continue to be used for public purposes for at least 20 years rather than in perpetuity. This is coming to you at the request of Cannon Beach Rural Fire Protection District. I've included some testimony from the House committee hearings, and we do have a couple of people here to testify, and we can get in contact with Representative Taylor and Representative
Carson. Okay. Shall we put those into the record then? That would be the testimony from Alfred Aya Jr., President of the Cannon Beach Rural Fire Protection District, Douglas Doherty, the Superintendent of the Administrative School District Number 10, Cannon Beach, Gerhardt, Seaside, and from the Association of Counties, Robert Fenton.
Everybody's in favor of it?
We're on for it. And Vicki Taunton has signed up. Vicki, do you want to come along up here? Good afternoon, Vicki.
Good afternoon, Chair Duncan, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Vicki Totten, Oregon Community College Association. This bill was called to my attention after it was introduced by the president of Classic Community College because the property under which their campus is located was given to them by Classic County. And under these circumstances, that it would be used for a public purpose forever. I don't know if any of you have been to that college site, but it's deep on top of the hill, and they have serious ADA problems, and their buildings are crumbling, and they would like to relocate. This bill would allow the county to relinquish their interest in the property and allow Classic to sell it and use the proceeds to relocate. Ooh. So it would be an enormous benefit to the college.
Yeah, it is a very strange setup for a school up there. Questions for Ricky?
Is this particular community college alone, or it applies to any other?
Chair Duncan and Senator Lynn, this applies to any local government who is in that situation under this law.
Is it going to require just the system or allowing them to do that?
Right. Any other questions? All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2584. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 2584.
Sure.
Senator Crow.
I move that we send House Bill 2584 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. House Bill 2584, Senator Crow has moved that we send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Motion carries. Senator Dukes will carry. And House Bill 2584A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Closing the work session on 2584A. What's the word on Senator Farioli? Okay. I'm going to open the work session on House Concurrent Resolution 8. Do we have anyone signed up to testify on that? Oh, okay. House Joint Resolution. House Joint Memorial 8.
HCR 8?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I have the wrong one. We'll be in recess just for a moment.
While we're in recess, what is...
Public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 8. I'm going to reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 671. And Gatton and Rennie and Senator Perio, you all want to come on up? Well, we're in tune right here, so keep it.
We want you to know that there's not going to be any song and dance.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Shields, my particular specialty is the vocal arts, but I know that our good colleagues here are into the terpsichore, so if you need any dancers, the dancing will be done by you.
No, well, we know that Grant and Karen is capable of the soft shoe. And
Hard shoe, too. We understand people still have not quite gotten it all put together. Is that?
I'm the chairman, Ted Farioli, for the record, Senator from Senate District 28. We are so close to closure, it may come down to one word. And the issue that's been brought before us on Senate Bill 671 with the Dash 6 amendments hinges now only on whether or not we give the agencies the choice to file with a paper filing. I want to do it all electronically, and the consensus of opinion is that it's better if we simply make an electronic filing. A paperless system, which will actually be a lot easier for the agency. So if we look at page 2 on the sub 2, line 7, may submit to the summary through electronic means, actually should be shall. And that way the question about the ambiguity about paperless.
Where are we? We're on
dash 6,
page 2, sub 2.
Line 7.
Okay. May submit. Should be shall.
Should be the word shall instead of may.
Should be shall.
And I believe, Mr. Chairman, with that we have a closure to this particular chapter of the saga.
Is that? You had some problems earlier.
Just to make sure it does happen, it happens promptly.
See? Amen. I see you're comfortable now.
Will there be some fiscal impact?
We will put up server new tests for programming time on the
I love that word, de minimis.
Yes.
How much would it cost from changing to a maid to shell?
I don't know. We have to see how much traffic there will be. We don't really have our hands on how many do that. That's when Senator Farrelly brought up his testimony. How many are out there? $20,000 total cost.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be worthwhile to talk about the elements that brought us together to close on these dashes. And first of all, we agreed that all of the bills should be prospective, so there will be no search of the files, no rooting through ancient and dusty filing cabinets for existence of the agreements that people may not even remember. It's all prospective. Then the agencies themselves would be allowed to update the electronic filing themselves. So if these agencies, as they get into intergovernmental agreements, it would be a rather simple matter to call up the data input page for the web page, put four lines of data on the data file, which is names of the parties, dates of the agreement, subject matter of the agreement, and the agency wherein resides a copy of the agreement. And that, in effect, meets all the requirements of the bill. So it could be, and of course, it's simply a matter of making it available so that folks know where they can find an intergovernmental agreement and that one exists.
Grant, are you folks comfortable with it?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Grant and Karen, representing the Oregon University System, fine on the dash six. We would have done it electronically. Now we shall do it electronically.
Okay. Any other questions for them?
Looking at the front page, maybe this is a silly question because I'm doing catch-up. I'm thinking of the university system. I'm thinking of big state organizations. You've got 90 days after the effective date to catch up on the backlog that you would have. If you start now, even before that 90-day period, is this going to give you plenty of time to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, yes, we've got a running start at it, and also I understand there's legislation moving through the system which would make effective dates January 1 of the coming year. So without a clause, our new general counsel who comes May 14 will find his position requirements, and this will be a learning experience for him.
Oh, good. Senator Trump.
Don't fill out a review of everything. So by the end of the year, he'll be there. Very well.
Does the changing of the May to the shell mandate that that this will happen electronically? Is there anything else in the rest of the bill or in these amendments which would also have you doing a paper chase as well, a paper trail? Or does that one word do it?
Chair Duncan, to Senator Trow, to my knowledge, there are no exploding cigars or surprises in this bill. I don't think there's anything else that requires a literature search or any other requirement.
What you see is that this will be done, but it will be done electronically, and there will not need to be a flow of paper connecting it. It's just be done electronically.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, except for the person who requests a copy, maybe you've got if it isn't in an electronic file and can be transferred that way, then the paper copy would have to be struck.
Sure. Okay. But that's easy done. It's not that, it's just not moving a lot of paper around.
Okay, other questions?
I have one more question.
Yes.
I know our government is not federal government. Any agreement is like that, it seems to be nature, shouldn't be publicized. Do we have anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, to Senator Lim, the existence of the document and its subject matter, meaning the parties and the object, and I don't imagine more than just a line or two, maybe even a word or two, are the only pieces of information required. I believe that anything that would be covered under confidentiality agreements would not be violated, and I'm certain that the agency would still be bound by all the confidentiality requirements not to share the document. This just refers to the existence
of the document. The document.
Okay.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Trump.
Suppose I wanted to see the document. Aren't these public? Aren't these all public documents? And can I, if I go to the index and I find this document, is the index going to tell me where I can get a hold of this document if I want to see it?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, to Senator Crow, that's right. The index is primarily a determinant director. However, let me use as an example a research contract with a university in the higher education system. It might contain proprietary information that is covered by a confidentiality clause, and nothing in this bill affects that. Mm-hmm.
Could you get a contract with just that information blanked out?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Grant, in turn, again, let me try that. The bill itself says that the director would show the agency through which a person may obtain a copy of it. So they would then go to the custodian of the document. If that was one of our documents and they came to us, we would be bound by the statute governing whatever was proprietary, whether it was trade or proprietary information. In the example Senator Ferriola gives, I would assume that material which was exempt would be withheld and the material which was not exempt would be delivered.
Thank you. Let's go to work question. I just found something with the conceptual amendment.
Chair Duncan, members of the committee, we have had a letter from the President that discourages greatly from doing conceptual amendments, but I think because it's a one word change, we can still get around it by doing what we did last time, have a suspension of the rules which requires
All right. I will. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 671, and I'm going to open the work session on 671.
Chair,
Senator Crowe.
I move that we suspend the rule so that we can amend 671.
Senator Crowe moves suspension of the rules for the purpose of amending 671. Any objection? Here.
Roll call.
Oh, I need a roll call on this, yes. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Lynn.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Trump.
Aye.
Aye. The rules are suspended.
Mr. Chair, I think that maybe we better amend the bill with dash 6 first and then amend the bill again for the one-word change.
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 6 amendment.
So the bill moves the dash 6 amendments. Any objection? Amendments are adopted.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that in the bill and in the dash 6 amendments and however this will occur in the bill, that we change on page 2, line 7, the word may to shall.
On line
7.
Section 2, line 7. Senator Crow moves that we change the word may to shall. Is there any objection? Adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move that we send amended Senate Bill 671 to the floor to be passed recommendation.
Senator Crow moves the amended 670, Senate Bill 671 support the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Grant left because he was talking about paper in response to one of your questions. If I read this right, it says the department shall make information in the index accessible to the public through the internet, a personal computer, or other similar technologies. That makes it even cheaper because they don't have to actually do paper. They can just point somebody at a computer and say, go get it yourself. So it's really very inexpensive.
There you go. Another discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Lynn. Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Senator Trump.
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 671 will be sent to the floor, as amended, will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a carrier?
Mr. Chair,
I should note for the record, Senator Ferrioli will carry
the Chair. However, we want the condition that he does it without any paper.
Without any paper. All right.
I appreciate not only the hearing the bill got, the attention it got, the opportunity for the work to come together, and the rehearing. And thank you for your motion.
Thank you. Going to reopen the public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 8. Representative Closest here now. Sorry, we had to make you wait a few minutes. And I'm sorry, because I'm curious what you're doing, and I have to run the hearing room D. That's why I'm coming. Be right back.
Welcome, Representative Close.
Thank you, members of the committee. Chair Duncan, who's not with us any longer, but Vice Chair Trow, I appreciate having a hearing on this bill. I'm Betsy Close, State Representative, District 36. I present to you today House Concurrent Resolution 8, which will encourage Oregonians to celebrate the past. This bill is presented at the request of Margaret Ingram of Albany. She is an educator who teaches life history by contract. She goes to different school districts on contract. She's researched, lectured, and taught life history for more than 8 years in the Pacific Northwest. As a consultant in life history, she will be asking schools, senior citizens, and organizations to submit stories for inclusion in a book called Century of Change. I share Margaret Ingram's desire to keep the past alive. I can remember my father, who has now passed away, sick of the influenza epidemic around 1912, where the dead were carted away each morning in Tacoma. He spoke of his and my mother's lifestyles as teachers during the Depression when they were sometimes paid in apples or heating oil. He also spoke about his experience as an Army captain in World War II. His experiences and the experience of others must be preserved for coming generations. They help us to understand who we are and who we came from. This bill encourages Oregonians to share their memoirs, ensuring that their experiences are not forgotten when they are gone. I've provided you with an article from the Daily Barometer, which is the OSU student newspaper. In it, a student reporter is reviewing Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation. I would like to read a few parts of that article for you. Tom Brokaw has encouraged everybody to get a hold of a tape recorder and interview their relatives before they pass away, and to keep those records for their families. This was done by Nat LaPlante, and I found it very touching. He talks about the book. It says, it contains the accounts of individual men and women, stories of Americans, heroes and heroines who came of age during the Great Depression and World War II and went on to build the America you see around you today. It is filled with stories of a life I had never before laid eyes upon, he says. And then he goes on to say at the end, The Greatest Generation is the story of this country as told by those who made it what it is. It offers a rare glimpse into the past of a community that generally doesn't speak much about its heroics but would be well justified in doing so. Brokaw pieces these stories together in such a way that you can't help but want more. In so doing, he does our generation a great service. So this is spoken by a generation that seems to be hungry for this type of history. And so I think that this bill is very timely as we reach the turn of the century. So I ask you to support this bill because our greatest lessons for the future are those we learned from the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Senator Shield.
Yeah, in the short little blurb about the bill, it says to observe Memoir Trail 2000. What is that?
Okay, that's caused a lot of confusion. Margaret Ingram named it that. She was trying to use the Oregon Trail.
Just the imagery?
Celebration that went for the imagery of the celebration that went before for the Oregon Trail, and say this is the type of Oregon Trail as well. So she named it the Memoir Trail.
Do you think we need the bill, the resolution needs amendment to just clarify what that is?
That would be fine with me.
Would it be okay? Okay. Thank you. exactly how we might amend it. So we could have staff work with you, Betsy, and see if and you could work with her and see if you could come up with not much. You just maybe want a few words to describe what that is.
Okay.
I think it's going to be hard for us to tell the people on the floor of the Senate just exactly what you mean by that, unless there's some kind of a further explanation. Maybe you could have just a second resolve if you wanted to. You've got the first one, and then you could have a second one, which would explain more in detail what you mean. If that's okay with the rest of you, does that make sense?
I think we ought to have something.
Okay.
I agree that has caused confusion, so I'd like to do that.
Why don't we just then set it aside for now. We'll come back to it. We'll ask you and staff to work and get some further language to go on the resolution. It may be that you'd want to do a little more with the whereases, I don't know. But anyway, just some additional description of what's meant by Memoir Trail 2000. Okay? Thank you.
I have one other question. When I see a bill that's overwhelmingly passed, and I rejoice, but I also wonder about Representative Bowman's no vote. Do you have any insights there?
She came up to me after the vote. Excuse me. Vice Chair Crow and Representative Shields. She came up to me after the vote and said that her concern was that any slant can be given to history, and so she's very cautious on any bill dealing with history, that it is inclusive of all races. I noted that.
Oh, maybe the language you add could help ease her.
That might be helpful.
Yeah, fine.
Maybe there could be some inclusive language in that amendment.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we just work on it? Senator Lynn has something. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I was trying to accomplish, I couldn't get it, just other than just encourage. And what I was trying to get it, what could you accomplish?
Vice Chair Trowan, Senator Lynn. We want to give notoriety to this. We want to give, I guess you'd say, official sanction to the importance of doing this because of the turn of the century and because of the almost catastrophic events of this century, that it's important to give this an observance so that she can go around the state and promote it.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a good idea. Let's see if we can't find some language that'll just make it even better. Okay? Thank you very much. Okay, that concludes the hearing on HDR 8. Now, Marjorie, where do we go from here?
Chair Tro, members of the committee, I noticed that Sean Miller is in the back of the room.
Okay.
I'm sure that he's more than willing to testify on House Bill 2662, if you'd like him to.
Okay, we'll open a hearing on 2662.
We'll continue our hearing on that.
Okay, we'll resume our hearing. Welcome, sir. Identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Sean Miller, I represent the Oregon Rental Housing Association. The bill before you, House Bill 2662, came about from our Northeast Oregon Rental Owners Association. And what had happened in the city of LaGrange was a low-income housing project was being proposed in that area. And it was done without the knowledge of the private sector and many, actually, people within the city. And the unfortunate consequence the lack of communication, if I might call it that, because it wasn't that we opposed any low-income housing project. Actually, we support low-income housing development. But there was a dispute at the time because of the very, very high vacancy rates in the city of LaGrange that we would like the city and HCSD, the department, to encourage more trying to get these people into existing units to help fill existing structures. And that happens a lot in some of the rural communities in the state. What we came up with, and we had a work group put together to try to solve this issue. We worked with Lynn Schussler, the Housing Community Service Department, the housing authorities, and other interested parties that would be interested in putting together a registry system from the Housing Community Service Department. And it's not just an issue, and not, this issue happened in LaGrange. It was a battle between the private sector and the housing authority that was proposing it. It was an unfortunate And what happened about a year later was HCSC stepped in on their own, did a market study, and concluded that, yes, low-income housing was needed, but not as many units. So it was a way to help the community plan accordingly for what is needed in the area. And what we were looking for is maybe having HCSD step in more on front end to mediate some of those disputes around the state instead of what happened in LeGrand, which we consider on the back end, and have that conflict, because the conflict was unnecessary, it was unneeded. It was unfortunate that many of our members had to go through that, and the housing authorities, and it could have been all resolved in a timely manner. So what we came up with was something that is supported by the work group, HCSD, and the housing authorities and others. And it's not this issue. This issue has happened in Coos Bay, Pendleton, other rural areas around the state, but in the cities, what we found out when we were exploring this, cities like Portland and Eugene, they have the same problems a lot of times. A lot of times people apply for low-income housing loans, and they want to build a structure, let's say, somewhere in downtown Eugene, and the city doesn't know about it, and the city is going along with their plan, and it's nice to have they know what's going on outside of their planning structure. So we found out a lot of times in the city of Portland, city of Eugene, that happens a lot, and it's not like they're conflicting because they're all promoting the same cause. However, for planning purposes, it's more appropriate for everybody to know on the front end what's being contemplated and what is being then approved by the Housing Community Service Department. So what we came up with was a bill to create a registry of interested parties. For instance, we would have our associations in all the local areas of the state, cities and counties, because the city of Portland, city of Eugene, cities felt that they would like to be included in on this, and then that would avoid some of those problems. Housing authorities, you're going to have some of the low-income housing grant associations groups that promote, so everybody knows what's going on. And so the bill provides that when an application is sent into HCSD for one of these projects, that in that particular area, who's on the interested party list would be sent a notice of the proposed project. Quite simply to give the people on the front end the ability to respond if there is a dispute. This doesn't say that give anybody the approval, disapproval authority that HCSC already has. It just gives the community the ability to plan and to know what's going on in their own community. And it helps ease the mind of the private sector, especially because a lot of times when you find out a year down the road that something's happening and you necessarily knew it was going to happen, it's sometimes startling. And so this gives the ability for them to know on the front end. That registry, a notice is sent out. It gives any interested party the ability to respond to HCSC if they want to. And then we gave, at the discretion of the director of the department, the ability to come in to either take action on a market study. And these happen very few. We've kind of gone back in the last 2 to 3 years, and a kind of a big uprising on a project has only happened maybe once or twice a year. And so it's not like it's a huge problem, but it's a big enough problem that when it happens, it drags the community through an unneeded, unnecessary circumstance, and we'd like to have the state step in and mediate, and necessarily mediate that dispute and solve it. They do that already. However, this just gives a better line of communication. At that point, the director can either do a market study, determine the need and what is exactly needed, and help them plan accordingly and help ease the mind of the private sector and the community. Or they can do other means, as in try to mediate the dispute and let the city or plan accordingly. And so this is a response from a really ugly battle in LeGrand. It was unfortunate that it happened, and I believe Representative Simmons came and testified. Unfortunately, he got wrapped up in that. It was his district. But I can assure you that this is a good statewide policy, not just for the small cities in LeGrand and Coos Bay, but for the larger cities in Portland, Eugene.
I have two questions. The first one is, Lynn Chesler was here earlier. Housing Community Services is okay with this, right?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, absolutely. He helped us craft it.
Okay. Second question. I noticed that it says that it authorizes a fee for the registration. That's to cover the cost, I suppose, of making up a mailing list and postage. that right? Well,
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, absolutely. There could be a small fee assessed to getting on that registry to cover postage.
Well, my question is, why don't we save money by making a small change in the bill, which would say something to the effect of, I read in here someplace, it says something about written notice. Where is it? Where is that? After sending of notice, the department may send notice to persons. Why not email? I mean, if you developed an email list, it costs no postage, and it's faster, and in some ways it's even more secure, because you're sure it gets there, because it bounces back if it doesn't get there. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I personally would agree with you 100%. However, I think in some of the smaller areas of the state, I've had trouble even amongst my members down in Ontario, for example, that landlords who might not have the email that might want to get on. I wouldn't want to restrict it for people who just own computers, because I'd like to keep it open. However, I would welcome that in the future. I don't know if we're quite ready for that yet, statewide. But I personally would agree with you, but I think now we would be willing to pay the fee to get it in the mail.
I keep thinking that, Mr. Chair, if a few words of permissive language were in there, that once we advance a little bit farther, because they say that within a few years just about every household will have a computer, and we're moving in that direction, but within a few years the necessity of mailing to people will be less than that. I don't know. It's not a big deal to me. I'm just trying to save money, because I know mailing costs are significant, and I don't want Housing and Community Services spending more of the money than necessary on mail. I want it as much as possible to be used for housing.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I believe that that this particular list, when we evaluate probably how many people would be on, it will be relatively small. That's why there's no fiscal. We would be welcome to maybe adding language that would say for electronic mail, if somebody chooses to be on that instead of getting it by.
If they had their own choice. If you wanted to receive it by email rather than by snail mail,
And I believe if the committee felt that was appropriate, I think that could be added, or by electronic mail. I think the or would then make it permissive, if that's up to the committee. I have no problem with that.
I'm wondering about the market study. At the discretion of the director, but if after you notify people, you get a lot of file comments that seem to be, I guess, negative, that the director may conduct a market study. What is a market study exactly? What does that mean?
Chair, a market study, and the one that was done in LeGrand, was a fairly very comprehensive study of the area. Not only does it study the population and the different characteristics of the population, some areas like Eugene have student housing. A lot of that's incorporated in the market study. The availability of housing, there was several different I can actually get you a copy of the market study in, let me give you just some of the tabulations: population, income levels, housing factors, employment conditions and trends, the employment statistics, the economic outlook based on jobs. A lot of, as you know, in housing, all those factors equate into housing and what is needed for not just low income, high income, but then stepping the tiers up the ladder. So this gives an analysis for a city, for an area, community, and could be a county, the ability to make really good decisions on
what is truly needed. And so, and they've done these things.
Do you know about the process of, don't they do that now before they award these low-income housing projects? They don't do those things?
Mr. Chair, not necessarily, no. Mm-hmm. And that is why we are calling, and that's why what had happened in LeGrand, the market study basically saved the day. It made everybody happy. And so what we are saying is that there should be a mechanism in place to allow HCSD to step in and, if needed, do a market study to determine and make sure that everybody's doing the right thing.
To keep them from doing that now?
No, there isn't. And they did it in this particular circumstance. The only difference that this law would actually create is it speed up the process. What happened in, and it's happened in other cities, is they allowed the city to go through a knockdown, drag out fight in a long period of time, which is very painful for the community, instead of 30 days making a decision, determining and moving on, and then everybody moves on then with their life, and they don't have to go through that fight.
One of the practical problems with low-income housing is that there's a phenomenon that often results, and it's called the NIMBY. Everybody wants it, but they don't want it in their neighborhood. And you send out notifications and you stir up the population around it, and does that make it more difficult to fight these things?
Mr. Chair, we talked about that with the Housing Community Service Department, and they that would not affect any of their decision to do a market study based on those kind of complaints. That isn't justification for any kind of a market study just because someone doesn't want it next door, and that's for the record.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
But you have different people running the housing department, and there may be different interpretations of this down the road.
Yeah, and again, Mr. Chair, this doesn't, the market study, the decision to approve loans for low-income housing anywhere is not affected by this bill. So the actual decision to go forward or not to go forward is not in any way affected by this bill. It's only, it puts in place the better line of communication.
Okay. Is there further discussion, anybody?
I don't see any problem with this bill. Even the section 1, mm-hmm. 913, shall send a written notice of the funding. Written notice, if it's in the email, it is also still written notice. It doesn't, they don't have to be mailed out if they didn't say that. Send a written notice. If we send the email, it is still a written notice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just wide open. So to me, just to put it out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
We'll just hold the bill. We don't have quorum here now. And what else will we do, Monger?
Checho and member of the committee, we have one remaining bill, and that will be HJR 58, which declares the year 2000 to be the year of law enforcement and public safety.
Okay, is there anybody here to speak about that one?
Yes, Ken Armstrong.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ken Armstrong with the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. I really only put my name down on the list because I didn't see anyone else on there and felt that it might be a little lonely not having anyone speak to it. This is not our bill, but it is one that we fully support. It's an issue that has been discussed before the Joint Fire Services Legislative Committee. We're fully behind that. The original bill designated 1999 as a year of public safety. Since we are rapidly getting closer to completing 1999, I think the feeling was, let's make that the year 2000. Our view, particularly in the fire service, is that this is a body of men and women that commit themselves to a dangerous profession and is one that is certainly altruistic in nature and is designed to help their fellow man. And we think that this is a good way to help recognize the contribution that they make to society, and we'd urge the committee to adopt the bill.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Thank you. I don't think there's any problem with this one. We'll get to it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The thing is, I don't particularly want to let people go if we...
Okay, we have
Churchill, members of the committee, we should recess the committee until we have a quorum.
The city would be back in 2 minutes. It's been 5 minutes.
And Senator, the
chair's out there.
I'll run next door to him.
Let's recess for 5 minutes. On HJR 58A. Chair, I move that we send HJR 58A to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. The Chair moves HJR 58A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Lynn.
Aye.
Senator
Keith.
Aye.
Senator
Keith.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. HJR 58A is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Who would like to carry that bill?
I would.
And the Senate Chair will carry it. The session is closed. Opening the work session on 2662A. Chair, we had a hearing. Senator Shields brought up his point that maybe they might do some of this electronically rather than by paper. Senator Lynn believes that the language probably allows that and doesn't get in the way of that. And we had discussion of the bill, and I think we're okay with it.
Yeah, I would assume that by rule they could maybe just say, hey, why waste money on postage if we can do this with email?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything.
So the option is there for them.
I hope it is.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we're ready for a motion.
Okay.
Let's take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2662 to the floor of the
Senate. Senator Lynn moves House Bill 2662A to the House floor, to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Lynn.
Aye.
Senator
Shields.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 2662A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any carriers?
Yeah, I carry.
Senator Lynn will be the carrier. Work Bill 2662A closed. Did you do HCR 8? Did you finish that?
What we suggested was that there be some work done on the on it just to add some language to make it more understandable. And they're going to work on it and get back. I said that we were favorably disposed to it, but it needed some
more technical.
If you look at it, you don't know what it means.
Is there anything else to come before the group? Closing the session on the Subcommittee on General Government.